Okay, we better get into the message. We are talking about back to basics this month, and I'm doing serve. So the title is serve. Oh, look, it's working so far. That's a good sign. Serve. You know, when we follow Jesus, we serve Jesus. Serve. It's easy to spell. Brother, let me be your servant. That's what it's all about. So let's pray. Father, we pray you would come in power by your Spirit and speak through me. Lord, your word's not mine. Lord, open our hearts to hear what you're saying. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So it doesn't get any more basic than serving Jesus, does it? So we don't just meet Jesus, get saved, and go straight to heaven. Or the thief on the cross did. But most of us have a gap between getting saved and getting to heaven. And in that gap, we get to serve God. We don't have to serve God, we get to serve God. What a privilege. What a privilege to serve the Lord Almighty. So in between getting saved and getting to heaven, we've got a little bit of work to do for the Lord. And we don't get paid weekly or monthly. We get paid when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. Serving the Lord is a huge privilege, and we will be well rewarded for it on the other side. And I love how Jesus is so kind and he lets us help him with what he's doing. And it reminds me of when I used to let my, I've got four teenagers, well actually one's a bit older, but I just say four teenagers, it's easier. But when they were preschoolers, they used to want to help me sometimes when I was baking. And you know, like how many know that a preschooler is not really much help? We use the term help loosely. So you let them stir and mix and it makes a big mess and it'll be quicker and easier for you to not let them help. But you let them help because they think they're helping and they think they're part of it. And then they take all the credit at the end for it and they make a mess. But it's a bit like that when God lets us help him. He is kind and he graciously lets us be involved. So often when it comes to serving God, we don't know what it is that God wants us to do. So we think, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, so we do nothing. But what we actually should do is just say yes and serve. Somewhere, anywhere is better than nothing. Anywhere there's a need. And from there, God can get more specific with us and direct us. Because God can steer a moving ship. But the key is to move. And serving is giving back to God for everything I have received. Because I don't want to just be a taker, I want to be a giver as well. We don't just want to be blessed by the church, we want to be a blessing to his church as well. We don't just want to receive from God's house, we want to give back to God's house as well. So when we serve in God's house, our local church, it gives us a purpose and a sense of belonging. And we actually become part of something bigger than ourselves. So this morning I'm going to give you a few verses and I'm going to talk a little bit around serving and then we're going to get into Genesis, our text today. So the first scripture we have is Mark 10:45. Even the Son of Man, even Jesus, did not come to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I try and put my own name in that scripture. Even Eleanor did not come to be served but to serve and to give her life. We've got to serve and give our lives for the kingdom of God. So Jesus modeled servant leadership to us. A large part of the Christian life involves service. And if Jesus himself came to serve, how much more should we? And in John 13, we won't turn to it, but we know it, he even took the posture of a servant and dressed himself like a servant and washed other people's feet. People below him. And that would, we don't do foot washing now, but that would probably equate to cleaning the toilet today, the lowest job. He's showing us there is no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. We're all called to serve. We're all called by God to serve him. I don't find this easy. This does not come naturally to me. When you do your seven motivational giftings, serving is right down there for me. It's right down there with compassion. The two things that women are often high in. I'm low in. I'm really a man. You know, God didn't give us gifts and talents just so we could use them to advance our own financial position. He didn't give them to us just so we could get world famous or create a secure future for ourselves. He didn't give them to us for any of those things. He gave them to us to serve Him and His house and His people and His kingdom. But so often we just rock up to church like we are doing God a favor just being here. And Lord, you should just be grateful that I am here at all. But He's saying to us, man, I don't want you to just attend church. I want you to serve. And we're thinking, what? The audacity of God. Me? Serve? Because our sinful nature, our flesh, would actually rather be served than serve. Because when we are served, we feel important. We would rather rock up on Sunday, sit back in the pews, put our feet up on the pew in front of us, and say, serve me. And have everybody else run around after us, passing us communion trays and offering buckets and playing the getting up here early and setting up and playing beautiful music for us and setting out chairs for me to sit in and teaching my kids down the hall and making me cups of tea afterwards and then clean the toilets and sweep the building, by the way, so it looks nice for me next Sunday when I come. Yes, I am a Christian consumer. Serve me. And we would rather someone else attending the early morning prayer meeting. And we would rather someone else turned up to serve morning tea to those unsaved, mainly music mums and kids. And I'd rather someone else did all the hard work, man. And someone else can do that because I'm just too busy. And don't you know, God has called me to the nations. I'm just waiting for my email inbox to fill up with invitations. But actually, it all starts here. It all starts with serving where you are now. And when we serve others, it actually kills our sinful nature. It makes us treat others more important than we are. Serving is good for us. It makes us die to self. And it puts God and others in first place in our lives. It forces self into second place. And we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving others. Serving is good for me. Say it with me. Serving is good for me. Tell the person next to you, serving is good for you too. Yeah. Now here's our second scripture. Throw this one up. I love this one. If you don't work, you don't eat. I love that scripture. And I often say it to my children. And I listen to Pastor Brian Houston's podcast at Hillsong Church to his staff meeting the other week, and he did a whole staff meeting just on this verse. So I thought, this is awesome. We should apply it to our staff meeting. He exhorted each of his team to work hard and do their best and not coast. As followers of Jesus, we need to have a good work ethic. The New Testament encourages us to work hard, even work with our hands, and be industrious. You know, a bit of manual labor doesn't hurt us. I tell my son, mow those lawns. It's building character in you. The New Testament also condemns laziness. And wherever we are, in our jobs, in church, let's all of us be a contributor, not a bludger. I don't want to be a bludger. Let's throw up the next scripture, Hebrews 6, 10 to 12. Now, this is the NIV. I'll read part of it to you. You have helped God's people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy. So that whole context is talking about serving, and we help God's people and continue to help them until the very end. That means until you die. There is no retirement in the Bible. You don't serve and then turn 65 and, oh yeah, everyone else can serve me now. No, what it means is if you retire from your job, you have more time to serve the Lord. There's a lot in the Bible about serving God as long as you have breath left in you. You know, all of those guys like Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, those guys were old. You think you're old? No, they were old. They were in their mid-80s and up to like 170 or something. And they serve God as long as they have breath in them. We serve God our whole life long. One day, They'll put us in a nice brown box and we'll have a big rest for as long as we like. But until that day comes, we're going to serve God. And serving God looks a lot like serving people. And serving people looks a lot like hard work. It's always easier not to serve, isn't it? It's always easier not to be at church an hour early because you're on sound or you're on setup or you're on kids' church. It's always easier to sleep in and let someone else do it. One of those zealous people. But the Lord is asking you and I to do it. The Lord is asking you and I to serve Him by serving others. Write this down. Pride hates to serve. Pride won't serve, but humility serves willingly. Humility serves gladly. And as we invest our time and energy into serving God and His house and His people, then humility grows on the inside of us. And when we serve, we become closer to the Lord. The world doesn't get serving. The world says, why should I serve? What will I get out of it? Yeah, I'll serve if you pay me. What's the rate? Yeah. Man, we were youth pastors here in our church in the 90s for over 10 years. Hands up who's ever done youth ministry of any kind. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It was fun. Two nights a week, because we'd run connect groups on Tuesday and then youth on Saturday night. And we were never paid, but we didn't need to be. We didn't expect to be, because we were paid by our salaries. I was teaching full-time. Alan was accounting full-time. The church was smaller. Pretty much just Pastor James was paid. But now we are paid, but we'd be doing the same thing, even if we weren't, because Jesus is our rewarder. And I spent my first 19 years of my life serving the devil. So now I want to serve Jesus. It's way better. Before I was saved, I served the devil and it cost me dearly. But then I met Jesus, now I serve Him and He blesses me hugely. And there's eternal life thrown in. It doesn't get any better than this. But the world will only serve for a price. But God's people want to serve simply because they love Jesus. And hey, we owe Him our very lives anyway. And He saved us from sin and death and hell. And we can never repay Him for what He has done for us. But the least we can do is come early on Sunday to serve His house and His people. The least we can do is sweep the building and set out the chairs and smile and welcome people on the door and pour some coffee for visitors or host a connect group or lead one in our home. Take care of the wee kiddies down the hall. Do you know what? It means a lot to Jesus when we serve Him, when we serve His people, His children. When we serve in His house, He takes it personally. He sees it and takes note of it. Hands up if you're a parent. Now, if someone helps your kid, you know how much it means to you. If someone helps or serves your kid, if it's raining and they pick them up after school, walking home, stop them getting drenched, you help my kid, you've touched my heart right there. That's how God feels when we do something for God's people, God's children. For God's house, it's special to Him. He notices it. It blesses Him. When the Lord sees us serving Him by serving His house, His children, His people, voluntarily, for no payment, with a willing heart, He takes notice. And these are the people God tends to promote. Here's two more scriptures. Matthew 25, verse 23. This is Jesus talking. The parable of the talents, which is the parable of the money, because talent was money. His master replied, and that's like God speaking, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." We've also got up there Luke 16, 10 to 12. Again, Jesus, this is the New Living Translation, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own?" So we see here three tests of faithfulness in serving. Number one, with little things. Number two, with money. And number three, with other people's things. And I'm just going to speak briefly about number one and number three. The Lord is simply looking for people He can trust. So He tests us out first with a bit of serving to see how faithful we can be. He starts by giving us a wee job. So it's like the Lord saying, let's just see if Peggy can be faithful to turn up and sweep the building. She's gonna hoover the building. Look, Peggy's done that faithfully. She didn't blow up the vacuum cleaner. She didn't burn the place down. Let's promote Peggy. Let's see how she goes with something that's alive. Let's give Peggy pot plant ministries. She can water the plants at church. And the Lord's watching Peggy. Peggy doesn't kill the plants. She remembers to water them. They grow. And so the Lord says, I know, now I'm going to trust her with a real live person to disciple. And if Peggy disciples that girl well, I'm going to give her a few more. So Peggy's faithful with the one, and she disciples her. Soon the Lord is entrusting Peggy with a whole connect group to look after because Peggy has been found faithful. Yeah. This is how it works. The Lord is looking for fruit in our lives. God loves his kids, his people, and he only wants to entrust them to someone who is reliable, someone who is faithful, someone who will actually turn up and really look after them. Someone who has been proven with a track record to be trustworthy and faithful. So firstly, God tests us by giving us a small task, like turning up on a roster every month or every week, like to sweep the building or set up chairs early on a Sunday morning. He won't trust us with the many if we can't be faithful with a few. He's not going to give us hundreds if we can't be faithful with one. And he's not even going to give us one if we can't sweep the building. And he also tests us in how we serve another person. Do you know, God's not going to give you your own home until you look after the rented house you're currently living in. And before God will give you your own business, he's going to watch how you serve the boss in the business where you're working right now. And before God will give you your own youth ministry, he's going to watch how you faithfully serve Janita as your youth pastor right now. Am I faithful in what belongs to another person? Can I serve faithfully in another person's workplace, in another person's ministry, in another person's church, in another person's business? The Lord will test our hearts first before entrusting us with our own. I know Alan and I would not be entrusted with the leadership of our church if we had not first faithfully served someone else's vision, Alan's mum and dad's vision, when they were leading the church firstly. Sometimes we can think, but don't you know how gifted I actually am? God has got more than enough gifting. This whole planet is filled with gifted and talented people. What God needs is some good hearts. That's what he needs. So where do we serve? We start where God has placed us, which leads us to our text. And if you have your Bibles, give it a kiss. Say, I love you, Bible. And turn to Genesis. It might be on your phone. Turn to Genesis chapter 24, which is actually a love story, but we're not going to look at that aspect of it today. I'm going to read to you in the NIV. Pick it up at verse 10 down to 27, and we'll stop there for now. And then I'll do 61 to 67. Now the context is Abraham's getting old and he wants to find a wife for his son Isaac. And he wants to get a believing wife, a Christian wife, a believer in the Lord. He doesn't want his son to marry a non-Christian because he knows that will just result in his son backsliding. There's a good word right there, marry a Christian. But anyway, that's another sermon. So this is the context. Abraham has sent his servant out to get a wife for his son Isaac. So he's going on a journey back to where Abraham came from, back to the people in his whānau who believe in the Lord. So let's pick it up in verse 10. The servant took 10 of his master Abraham's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master Abraham. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. See, here I am standing beside this spring, this well. The daughters of the townspeople are coming to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says back to me, drink and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master Abraham. before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with a jar on his shoulder. She was a daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. In other words, she's a distant relative. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, so it's like a well. She would have gone down some steps, filled her jar, and come up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." And she said, "Drink, my lord," and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels too until they've finished drinking." Bingo right there! So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And then he goes on to talk to her about staying, meeting her family, and she runs back, he meets the family, he tells the family everything, and it's a miracle. They're all saying, "Man, this is a God thing." They all think it's a God thing. He gives her expensive jewelry, and they're talking about her coming back to marry Abraham. So let's pick it up in verse 61, the resolution of this story at the end of the chapter. So she's decided to go and marry this guy, Isaac, who she's never met, because she feels like this is a totally God thing. Verse 61, "Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate," that means pray. "And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, 'Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?' 'He is my master,' the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." So we see Rebekah serving faithfully in the area where God had placed her, in her family home. And she was such a servant-hearted girl that she even served a stranger by watering his camels willingly, offering to. She wasn't even asked to water the camels. She was asked for a drink. She said, "Yes, and I'll water your camels." And remember, the servant prayed a hard prayer because watering the camels was a huge job. It was very physical because camels hold a lot of water. God has created them with this large capacity to hold water. Maybe it's stuck in their humps. I don't know. But that's why camels are so handy in the desert, because they go for miles without needing a drink. But when they drink, man, those camels know how to drink. I used to drink a lot before I got saved, but one of these camels could drink me under the table. They can hold their liquor, the water. Did you know a thirsty camel can drink 40 gallons of water each? I researched it. And if there were 10 camels, that's 400 gallons of water. We don't know how many camels there were. There may have been more. And back on the farm, we used to have 44-gallon drums, those big round metal things. So that's 9 of those. So she would have been up and down the steps to the well, up again, and pouring it out, and, for quite a while to fill up 9 44-gallon drums. That is huge. It would have taken some time. Obviously, she had a disposition towards serving. She already had a lifestyle of serving. She was already helping out around the house, doing whatever needed doing. Serving here, serving there, serving everywhere. Even serving the animals, even camels. Feeding and watering them. She didn't even need a title or a badge or an office with her name on the door saying Camel Ministries International. Camel Watering Ministries, CEO. She just got on with it. She just did what needed to be done. Rebekah served where she was, in her family, in her home. She even did menial tasks like feeding and watering the animals. Now catch this. You might not have caught it. All through this beautiful story in chapter 24 of Genesis are camels. 13 times the word camels is mentioned in what I read out to you, although I missed a little bit in the middle. From verse 10 onwards, there's 13 mentions of camels. In the NIV, in the New Living, it's like 18 times. because they use it more often. Camels are filthy, dirty things. They spit. I've ridden one. Who's ridden a camel? Woohoo! And you have to put your sort of legs over the hump bit, and it's really uncomfortable. You have to sit different to a horse. And, you know, the Bible classifies them as unclean in the Old Testament. They are grumpy, they are a bad team, but there is nothing flash about camels. But when I got to ride one, it was in Egypt, and it was up Mount Sinai at 3 a.m., and Alan had to walk. But anyway, it's probably not even the real Mount Sinai, but never mind. But 13 times it mentions camels. The first 10 mentions, the camels are just workhorses, they're just carrying stuff. But do you know the last three times the camels are mentioned, from verse 60 onwards, they are carrying Rebecca to her destiny. Now get this. This is the most important sentence in the whole sermon. The thing that she served was the same thing that carried her to her destiny. She served the camels, and it was the camels that transported her to Isaac, to her place of great fruitfulness in God. Don't despise the thing you serve. Don't despise that ministry you're serving in, because it may just be the very thing that God uses to transport you to your place of destiny in God, to the place of great fruitfulness in God. Rebecca ended up exactly where she needed to be in God by serving in her house. She was there in the right place at the right time, and the serving was preparation. And we see this whole amazing story. Abraham, a type of the Father God. The unnamed servant, a type of the Holy Spirit. Isaac, a type of Christ, and he's a patriarch here, a father in the faith. Rebecca, the bride of Isaac, the bride of Christ, a type of us, the church. And in marrying Isaac, Rebecca got to be the mother of Israel, literally. She had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And then Jacob had 12 sons of 12 tribes. Rebecca made the pages of the Bible, man, because she served. She became the ancestor of Jesus Christ, all because she was willing to do a bit of hard work of serving where she was in her house. This is the house of God where God has placed us. This is the family, the whānau of God where he has placed us. We need to serve in our whānau, in our family, in our house, just like Rebecca served with her family in her house, and she hit the right place at the right time in God. We see the Holy Spirit, the servant, the unnamed servant, leading the bride of Christ, leading Rebecca, being transported on the very thing she was serving to meet her husband, Isaac, a picture of Jesus, to fulfill her God-given destiny and become fruitful. And she became the grandma of the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, and the ancestor of Jesus, all because she served where she was in the place where God had put her. And it wasn't glamorous. And now imagine if Rebecca had said to her dad, I don't do camels. I might cook, I will possibly clean, but I draw the line at camels. Talk to the hand. I ain't doing camels. There are some things that are just below me, and camels is one of them. She would have missed it all. And that unnamed servant prayed a hard prayer, because most people would not offer to water the camels. Most people wouldn't take serving that far. But because she served in her house, even doing camels, she was picked out by God and transported on those camels to a place of fruitfulness. Don't hate the thing you're serving in. Don't get sick of the ministry in the house you are serving in. It is vital to get you to where you need to be. Those dirty camels you are serving are significant. Be faithful in the camels, and God will use those same camels to take you to where you need to be. What are your camels you are serving? Maybe it's the kids when you're on kids ministry once a month. Maybe it's the youth. Maybe it's the in the band or in the setup. I don't know. But the way up is down in the kingdom. It's serving. And I'll tell you this much, when the Holy Spirit is looking for a special world-changing assignment, he will look for a servant every time. He will look for someone who is faithful to serve in their family, in their house. This is our family. This is our house. The Lord will pick someone who is not afraid to do some hard work. He will look for someone who is prepared to get their hands dirty, He will look for someone who is not too precious to do a bit of serving. Serving is all part of the processes of God. And you don't get to do the destiny bit unless you've first done the serving bit. This is what it looks like in God. We are serving faithfully, 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 and then we are fruitful. So you do the serving, faithful, 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 then you get to be fruitful. We all want the fruitful, but we don't get it unless we do the faithful, serving first. This is what God wants us to do. But so often we despise that common thing we're serving because it's just normal, it's just boring, it's not even very spiritual. You've got your head down, you're serving in the worship team, you're serving in the kids' ministry, you're serving in the youth, and you can even think, God, have you forgotten me? No, he's preparing you. He is training you. Just like little Samuel in the Bible. 1 Samuel 3, we see it in verse 1 and then in verse 15 in that chapter. Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest. And then at one point it says he got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. This guy was in charge of locking and unlocking the building. He was serving in God's house from when he was just a kindy kid, so cute in his little wee linen ephod. And he did whatever Eli told him to do. He was Eli the priest, little PA. He was his assistant. He did all the chores around the house of God. And then God promoted Samuel to be the prophet and the leader of the whole nation for his life, his whole life long. Samuel served in God's house. Then he became the leader of God's house and God's people. Do you know, so often we want to be somewhere else, anywhere else than where we are now. Where we are now is so normal. We want to be somewhere else, exotic, somewhere dramatic, America or somewhere like that. But God makes us serve right here where we are. And it's not exotic. And it's not exciting. It can even be a bit boring. And it is so very normal. But God takes that normal thing, that ministry, those camels, that thing you are serving in, and he uses that very thing to transport you to where you need to be, exactly where you need to be. So don't despise that serving role that you have now. It is more significant than you know. The Lord is watching how you serve. If the band could come, please. Don't despise those young people you are serving or driving around, leading and praying for every week. That youth ministry may be the same thing that carries you to your destiny, to that place of fruitfulness where God wants to plant you. You know, I can remember when I first got saved. I've been saved a few months, and then I said to our youth pastor, I want to serve God. Can I do something? Can I help? Can I lead a connect group? Can I? And he's like, okay. I think you could maybe be an assistant in one and help someone. I was like, thank you. So they put me with this guy, Steve, who was awesome, and he had a car. I didn't have a car. His car only had two doors, and so we would go and pick up our connect group of high schoolers. So we were lead. He was the male leader. I was the female leader of this group of high schoolers, and so we would go and pick them up. So it would go like this. He would come to my house and pick me up. I'd jump in the front. Then we'd drive to the next place. Then I'd jump out, knock on the door, and then a young person would get in the back. Then I'd get back in again. And then we'd go to someone else, and I'd get out, and I'd get in, and then I'd get in again. And then we'd go, and we'd fill up this little car with three other young people. We'd go, and then the others would somehow get there. And then every week I'd pray for them. I'd go through my list and pray for them all, and then I'd ring them up. And this is how it goes when you ring them up. It's like, hi, how are you? Good. What have you been doing? Nothing. Do you want to come to Connect Group? Yeah. Do you need a ride? Nah. Okay, I'll see you there. Bye. Bye. And that was it. It were very short conversations with a phone that was in the wall with a big curly line, and then you had to go like this and it break your nails when you... Anyway, some of the young people are... And Alan was doing the same at his Connect Group. We weren't going out, and they gave him a young adults one. I just got a high school one. Because we were faithful to serve in a Connect Group, God entrusted a youth group to us. And then because by his grace we were faithful to serve in the youth group for 10 and a half years, God gave us a shot at leading the church. And those young people in our youth, they were the camels. And I thank God by His grace, we didn't despise them, because now some of them are the backbone people of this church. There's at least 17 of them I can think of. But some of them are David and Bridget Jump, who are here right now, Jared and Rachel Pratt, who you know, and lots of others who I won't read out because they are all at Tauranga and you don't know who they are. But we still get to serve God here together with them. It's like we're still doing youth, only we're all a bit older now. You know, I think of Joanne, our worship pastor, who sometimes plays keys out here. And she used to serve out here playing keys. She's in the Tauranga one now. She goes around everywhere. She's at North today. But she served her mum and dad when she was 12 years old, playing the piano in her church. And her amazing piano playing has transported her to her current place of fruitfulness as a worship pastor. Imagine if she got sick of playing the piano. Oh, I'm sick of playing this old piano. I'm sick of watering these camels. When am I going to get my big break? But God watches how we serve. And it's the very area we're serving in that can transport us to our place of fruitfulness. I think of Rachel. Who knows, Pastor Rachel? Rachel and Jared used to lead Coast until about 2 years ago. And now she's serving in our church full time. But she served us in the youth from when she was 18. And she would help us, and she'd make calendars because she's really administrative and sort out the supper roster and book stuff. And her amazing admin and faithfulness in that admin is what now God has entrusted to her on a larger scale. She's doing the pastoral care and the admin and systems for the whole church. Where we are serving is significant. What we are serving in is significant. Don't discount it. I know another guy, Nathan Smart. Some of you might know Nathan. He's in the worship team. And he was in our youth, and he loved cars, a petrol head. And he would always help everyone fix their cars because he was so good at it. He was at Tabuki High School, but he'd give up all his time to help people with their cars. Well, now he's like the manager of three branches of car sales things. I don't know. He's doing flash stuff with cars. God has made him fruitful in the place of his service. I think of Lisa Higgins, and she's got a huge heart of compassion. And when she was in our youth, she had so much grace and time for this one girl with special needs, way more than me or anyone else had, and she would pick her up and look after her. Now God has promoted her to be in charge of all of the special needs in Bethlehem College. And she's heading up that whole Senko area because God uses what we serve in. It's significant. Don't despise it. Don't discount it. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. It may be the very thing that carries you into a place of great fruitfulness. What are you doing to serve the Lord in this house, in this family? The most spiritual altar call we could have this morning for some of us is to go over to the desk afterwards and sign up for a roster. That would be the most spiritual thing for some of us to do. What are you doing to serve the Lord where you don't get paid? You know, now I do get paid, but I always try and do at least 3 hours more a week than my hours that I'm paid for, because I want to be serving the Lord and not getting paid still. I want to do that for Him. Don't despise the place you're serving. That may be the very thing that carries you into your destiny, the place of great fruitfulness. Now, I know all our secular jobs are powerful ministry opportunities. We're all pastors in our workplace. But I believe we've got to be, all of us, investing our time and energy into serving something or someone in the kingdom of God where we're not paid for it. What is that thing? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our serving is more significant than we know. And I love Pastor Rucky and Karen's heart for serving. They practice it. They model it for us. Remember, if they ask you to serve someone, you're not serving just them. You're serving the Lord, who they represent. God works through delegated authority. Father, I pray. Let's lift our hands in His presence. I pray You would make us Your servant.